everybody, welcome to another episode of The Next 90 with Nick. This is a very unique experience for two reasons. One is this is our first virtual experience. I got a very acclaimed speaker and guest on our show today, and his schedule is so in high demand that we had to go virtual. But then the second reason why this is special is because, as you know, this is our Being Week, and being is something that I take super seriously. But when I thought about being, I only thought of one human being, and that's Mr. Tommy Baker, who is joining us on the show today. So, Tommy, thank you for being here, man.
My man, an honor and a pleasure, and I'm so excited to dig deep into the world of being.
Yeah, well, I mean, if there's anybody who is deep into the world of being, it's you. So Tommy and I have known each other now for a few years, and we followed each other's journey, and Tommy has a great story, and we're gonna jump into that. But just so the audience can kind of get to know you, just kind of give us the Reader's Digest version, if you will, like your name, your age, where you live, kind of what you do, just so they have some context of who we're speaking with today.
Yeah, I'll go super cliff notes. I actually grew up part of my life in South America, and then part of my life on the East Coast of the United States.
That I didn't even know that. Where in South America?
Colombia, Bogota, Colombia.
Oh, Bogota. Wow. Yeah, ¿Y hablas español?
Muy bien español, sí, seguro.
Yo también, amigo.
Hey, we could go bilingual with this one.
Hola, en vive, bienvenidos en 90 días con Nicolás.
Sí. Muchas gracias. But yeah, so I that's, you know, a lot of people, and that's part of my story that I should be more public with. But it really set myself up to ask some deep questions. I mean, I honestly think that without that, you know, we're talking about being, I wouldn't have had as much of a calling to take the journey inside as I did, because we would go back and forth time and time again. Mm-hmm. And it was hard, man, because it was two different cultures, two different countries. You're growing up already, and every time I felt like I was starting to fit in, then we would kind of get ripped back out. And
wow. So how old were you when you moved out of Colombia?
I was there first until 6 years old, and then came into the States 10, and then back 13, and then back 16, and then ultimately final time back in the States for college. So
that's crazy, man. So yeah, I can imagine that would have to be an emotional roller coaster for you. Plus just the cultural differences, the language differences.
So different. Yeah. So just kids grow up so differently, man. And so that really led me to, and obviously at that age I was young, but it just stayed with me, these questions of hey,
who am I?
Yeah. Well, and it gave me a perspective, right? Because you'd roll up in Colombia on the street, and, you know, you'd see people with double amputees on the street, and a lot of military because they're fighting the guerrilla down there. And so every time I came back to the States, I was like, wow, we have it really good here. And the kids in class, I don't think you know how good we have it, you know?
Yeah.
One of my family members died in a car bomb explosion in Colombia. And just living with that reality, and then coming back to the safety of the U.S. and the opportunities that we have, it gave me that gift of perspective.
Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, and I love it, because if there's any human being in the world that has powerful perspective, it's you. I mean, you're able to look at things in such a unique way and pull crazy lessons out of them. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. So I'm excited to jump into that. But that's what's crazy. A lot of people, and most of my audience, I think, is in the U.S., but we got people listening all over the world. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but we just hit 40,000 downloads, dude.
Yeah,
that's 40,000 downloads in about 7.5 weeks. So I'm pretty pumped on that.
Impressive. And because I know the game, because I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, you're a big fan. Thank you. But a lot of things is, to put it into perspective, we do have it very good here. You know, I've never known anybody to die in a car bomb, and you have someone in your family. That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And but perspective is so powerful, because, you know, it gives us a deeper sense of gratitude. So yeah. I grew up with that gratitude. And anyways, fast forward, I started my entrepreneurial journey. I think this whole not fitting in really led me to the entrepreneurial journey, because it's just how I felt growing up so often in two different cultures. And I started a fitness business, and it taught me so many lessons. I think entrepreneurship is one of the greatest resources for personal growth, that and relationships, of course. And it taught me so many lessons. Ultimately, I decided to make a move, and my heart was calling me out west. And this is a big being piece. Without the being, I don't get these downloads. I don't get these messages, and I don't have the courage to act on these messages. So
you were on the, where were you living at the time? You owned a couple of gyms, correct?
Yeah, I was in New York City, in Manhattan, and then also in Connecticut.
And you own like a training business there? Is that?
Yeah. One was like high end personal training, all in. You would come in, we would do training, you get meal plans, you get massages, like very high ticket. And then the other was more of a performance style, like CrossFit S type gym.
Okay, cool. And then, so you're doing that. Was it working or not working? Like how well were you doing in that kind of world? I mean, you've always been like a fitness guru, so I can imagine it was fairly successful.
Yeah, it was working, and we were definitely in the top, 2 to 3% of gyms. I mean, most gyms don't do very well. So I don't know how much that is saying, but here's what I discovered, Nick. The vehicle of my purpose I had outgrown it. The thing is, it's crazy because fitness has always been a spiritual quest for me. Mm. If we look at Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it starts with the physical, and he argues that you can't get into the spiritual without accessing the door of the spiritual, because we got to take to the spiritual first, right? And so for me, I quickly realized fitness was always a spiritual quest, man. And more importantly, I wanted to know who I was when life got really hard.
Yeah,
I wanted to know like what depth of character I had inside me that was not just the surface area, voices inside my head, but what clarity I could seek within. But I decided to transition out of that with the help of our mutual mentor, because I could fake it.
Yeah.
I had another business coach. He said, dude, you could turn this into, 30 to 40 franchises. You could step back and you could play that game. Like, you got everything you need. And I thought, man, I can't do that, man.
So what happens to a man or a woman, because we do have a big female contingency as well, that is living a life that's out of alignment with their purpose? Like, what happens to that human being?
You start to feel hollow inside. It starts to eat you up inside, Nick. And
so
for
no matter what's happening, the amount of success, this 30, 40 franchise, probably multi-millions of dollars were being thrown your way and in the form of opportunity. But like without being aligned to the purpose, what does that do?
You feel disconnected, man. You feel hollow. And, yeah. For me, it started small, but it starts to build and build. And I know for some people out there, it's like, wow, that's how I feel every day. And that's what happens with time. And so we know what to do. This is like where the beam comes in. The messages are coming in, but then we stack logic and rationalization. And so for me, one voice was saying, get out of this industry, get out of this environment, actually leave your whole environment, go somewhere new, start a new life. And then logic would come in and say, well, dude, you just signed a 5-year lease. That's a $10,000 a month just for the building. Like, that's not going to work. This is what you've said your purpose is. So there's this conflicting energy, right? And it takes practice, it takes space, and it takes courage to listen to the real voice inside of us. So start uncovering what that purpose is. That's why I love when people say, hey, I don't know what my purpose is. And I love the David Data quote, Way of Superior Man. He says, if you don't know your purpose, go to the woods until you find your purpose. which is what he's saying is create space.
Right, exactly, which is the whole thing. So like Monday's episode, I was talking about, the meditation aspect of the being. But I want to touch on something. You kind of, like, it's so innate in your nature that like it just kind of fluidly comes out of you. But I hope the audience kind of caught this, and I want to just pause for a minute. You're talking about the voice, right? Which is like your true purpose, which is this guiding beacon inside of us. It's like our GPS or our ways to get through life. And then there's logic and there's everything. So one of the things that came to me right now was like, there's the voice and then there's noise. And sometimes the noise is mistaken as the voice, because it's that, well, Tommy, you got a $10,000 a month nut here. You can't leave this. Or Tommy, like, this is where your roots are. You can't leave this. But then there's the voice that's like that thing in your gut, that pit, like underneath your heart that says, dude, go out west. It sounds like an old pioneer, but that's what you were doing is you were listening to the voice and pioneering your life that you've been called to lead.
And I got that first distinction inside a sensory deprivation tank, man. Mm. Like, no expectation of anything, but it just came through me. And I saw mountains, and I didn't specifically see Arizona. I saw somewhere on the West Coast, but I acknowledged it. And the moment I left that tank, I rushed over to Starbucks with everything I had because I didn't want to lose that insight. And I remember going, I had a dinner thing later on that day. And dude, I just started typing on the computer, anything that came out without judging it.
Wow.
And that started to peel back the layers, because this is a process, started to peel back the layers and get me to like, okay, what is this really saying? And what's not?
So you kind of isolated yourself and were just kind of getting tuned. Like, so what you did in the what you called a sensory deprivation tank. So yes. if you can imagine that, to the point, like sensory deprivation, there's no noise, right? There's only the voice. And the voice was like calling you and telling you, hey, you know, Tommy, you got to do this. And then the greatest thing, I mean, dude, you're like, you're an all-star guest here because you're teeing up everything that I want to say. Immediately after you found that insight and that revelation, you went to journaling, or, you know, in this case you were typing, but same thing, you were putting the thoughts that came to you down on paper and manifesting what you wanted in your life, you know, or what the voice was telling you, that GPS was saying, turn left. And you're like, I should turn left, you know? So I think some people don't do that. And you know, like you and I have been doing this stuff. I mean, you've been actually in the game longer than I have. When did you first come to Warrior?
2014, August.
Okay. So yeah, you're exactly a year ahead of me. So I was September 2015. And so you and I have been practicing this for a while. And I think you were practicing it, that the whole meditation, journaling, kind of intention stuff prior to this. But yes. Inside of the game of Warrior and inside of the core four, like one of the biggest aspects is this being aspect, which is daily meditation and journaling. But some of the audience, you know, they might be sitting here thinking like, oh, dude, that's all hocus pocus. I mean, that shit doesn't work. Like, you're living testament that shit works. I am too as well. But like, dude, every day I'm so impressed. Like I journal, but like you journal like a motherfucker. I mean, it's like you got drawings and I mean, all sorts of crazy stuff. So how has meditation and journaling transformed your life?
Man, and you're so right. And people have these perceptions around it. And really what happens with that, Nick, is intention. And so if we go into...
What was that word again?
Oh, just intention.
One more time.
Intention.
Exactly. Because people, I did a whole episode on intention. And dude. Like, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to link up all these things. Like, and another beautiful thing that you said that I'm sorry, dude, this is just like, it's flowing. So
no, I love it. Flow,
baby. I want everybody to hear this, is that the fitness level was the access to the spiritual journey. So when we get up in the morning and we take care of our body, that opens up these possibilities inside like our spiritual journey, which is our voice. And we set our, can you say it again?
Intention.
And then we go into a place of capacity and meditation, and then we journal. So keep going. I mean, this is awesome.
Yeah. And we'll get back to that in a second, but you have to go through everybody listening. Think about a time that you were stressed out. You had a problem in life, and then you hit a workout, you hit a hike, you hit a sprint, you hit, you know, a class, and you had instant clarity. That is literally what Nick is talking about. But that's the first step. We go physical, mental, emotional, and get to the spiritual. But we can talk about that later. But you know, so going back to intention, yeah, we get this all the time, and I get this all the time. You do too. Working with male entrepreneurs, well, first of all, they want to conditionally do these things. So what is meditation going to give me tangibly? And it's like, dude, we're talking about two different things. Like, that's not the purpose.
Yeah.
Like, is it possible that you're going to be able to create more results in your life with meditation? Absolutely. But don't put these energies together, because they simply don't mix.
Right.
You know, the intuition and meditation and the voice, that is a sacred ingredient that doesn't fit into the rigidness of logic and all of this stuff. So you have to release that. So just going back to intention, of course, well, if you think a 30 minute meditation is a waste of your time and it's hocus pocus and, you know, all these spiritual people are just scam artists, of course you're going to get nothing out of it. You're going to get worse out of it, because you're going to be in a state of chaos where the whole time you're just beating yourself up. So I just tell people, and I float a lot. I've done 120 floats and I've documented almost all of them. And so people will tell me, because I've hyped it up in the past, and I'll say, okay, man, like how do I get perfect in like the perfect state? Like, because of the float, you know, you talk about the float, and I'm like, dude, number one rule, release all expectations.
Right.
Set an intention and then release all expectations. And that's where the magic happens, because we are trained to not listen to ourselves. This is stuff that has thousands of years been talked about, right, in spiritual texts. But even Ralph Waldo Emerson, he talks about the blessed impulse. That is the voice that he's talking about. But we need to create that space. And so if you do have a trigger against meditation or journaling, give it 90 days. We talk about challenges. Give it 90 days where you go with a deep intention and you create the space and you release all expectation.
Yeah.
And start to document the themes and the patterns that start coming up. All the answers that you're seeking in programs and masterminds and content, and even on this podcast, my books, everyone's content, they're already inside.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone the other day was talking about, like, anytime we go out and we seek external answers, like all they really do is redirect us back inside.
It's a mirror.
And it's so crazy. And, you know, like, I've been in a position, you know, financially where things were just like radically opening up and the money was pouring in, but I kept reaching for more. And I just had this huge void, you know, and the moment that I actually went internal, it's like, you ever see, like, when they do like a big wound, you know, and they keep it as an open wound.
Yes.
And the reason why they keep it as an open wound is because it actually has to heal from the inside out, you know?
So, yes.
And human beings are the same way. Like, we have to go inside to be able to heal, to be able to be whole on the outside.
And, you know, speaking of that, just because it comes up, you know, I just finished a book on Tiger Woods. It's a 600-page book. Now, I don't necessarily have any interest in golf. The reason why I read that was for exactly what you just said, because this guy had a wound in his heart from childhood. Mm. And there's a reason why he slept with 150 women while he was married and had kids. It's because he was trying to fill a void that you couldn't fill with that.
Right.
And so this is, guys, like, the pinnacle of success, billionaire, one of the greatest athletes of all time, like, literally runs the world, yet he had a hole inside.
Yeah. Yep.
And to me, that hole is the only way that you can patch up that hole is by taking the journey, the hard journey inside, right?
Yeah.
Being is the foundation of everything. When people ask me, what's the most important thing of the core four? You know, I was asked to speak on stage at Warrior and they had me speak about body. And, like, to be honest, man, I was looking at all the being guys and I'm like, that's what I should be speaking about. Cause
I agree with that, because, you know, I think people look at you like, you know, you're a fit guy and like fitness is definitely part of your regimen as it should be. But like when I see you and I see your posts on Instagram and your stories, like, some of my favorite posts you do are those ones just at the end of the day. And they're so simple, just from your balcony.
Yeah.
your balcony, and you're just appreciating like the beauty of nature, and you're just giving some sort of quip about, you know, be grateful, people, like, you know, this is the moment that we have right here, right now. So yeah, that's crazy. So all right, so we kind of like went off on a tangent, but a beautiful one. So you end up running these gyms. You're feeling out of alignment with your purpose. You and I have the same mentor, which is Garrett J. White, which is the founder of Wake Up Warrior. You go to Warrior Week in 2014, August of 2014, and then is that when you make the shift and you move out west?
No, but that started to give myself permission. I wasn't ready at that point.
Okay.
So what that did was blow open new opportunities in business, but ultimately to create the shifts that allowed me to really just get honest with myself. And it was the first time when I went into a room, and this was later on, not in August 2014, but later on, where, like, I knew my purpose was different. Like, the gym, just, it doesn't matter if I had 100 of them, it just, like, it wouldn't fulfill me, right?
Right.
But I was so embarrassed to say it, because I had told everybody since I was like 19, when I made the decision to be a personal trainer, that I was going to open gyms. Like, it was my vision, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's really easy to tell people that you're kind of over something when it's like you're working for a shitty boss, or, you know, it's so obvious that there's something wrong, but this is like what I wanted.
Yeah.
So what Warrior gave me was the permission to say, and I remember being on one of the calls and expressing that, like, the voice kept saying, like, all my meditations are saying, you got to get out of here. Like, this is done.
Wow.
And I was embarrassed as hell, man.
And that's a great point. I think, because a lot of times, again, externally, we go seeking this validation and affirmation, like, but nobody knows the conversations that happen right here in our head.
Yes.
Nobody knows those conversations except for us, you know?
Yes.
And so, like, we go outside and we you touched on a key word there, permission. We get permission from all these different fucking people that, yes, don't really matter. Yes, like our parents, our friends, our family, they are important, but, like, it's our life at the end of the day. And that internal compass, you know, is what we need to listen to. That external stuff is, again, just a bunch of noise.
100%, man.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that we actually – to me, this is the highest form of self-appreciation, self-love, when we can be that honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do need other people to allow that key to unlock and,
sure,
and that purpose. And even this podcast, right? Get people permission to take the journey. But anyways, I ended up getting to a point where I knew the choice had to be made. And if I didn't do it there, I would get anchored. And I remember it was New Year's night. I was back east, and I remember being at a dinner table. And, you know, it's like I was at the dinner table, but my head was somewhere else.
Right.
So I excused myself, and I just started walking, man. I started walking. I remember it was a full moon that night. And that night, and then tears just started flowing, man. And that's when I made the commitment. So I grabbed my phone, and I was, remember, I'm looking at the moon, the full moon, and it was like this cloudy, it was January, it was freezing, but it was beautiful. And I left myself a voice note. And in that voice note, I said, in 365 days, this is what's going to happen.
Wow.
I'm going to leave my environment and find a place that inspires me. Every day I wake up and I look outside and I'm just fulfilled within because of my environment. Two, I'm going to connect and attract on a soulmate level with something that makes all other relationships seem like a fucking joke. Can I swear on this, by the way?
Of course you fucking.
Damn. I know the explicit thing. Number three, I'm going to create and cultivate a new business that lights me up on fire and is more aligned with my purpose. And I just started to make these lists of commitments, man, this vision. Dude, I had no idea how this was going to happen. I had just signed the lease. We had 15 staff members. I was anchored to back east. I didn't really know anyone in Arizona besides a couple of the Warrior guys. But I honored that decision in that moment. And I made the commitment because that's what was coming out of me.
Yeah.
And I saved that voice note. And I still have the voice note. And within 7 months, all
Dude,
of that stuff happened.
Don't ever put that on multiple archived hard drives.
Yeah.
I mean, this is your speech, your keynote speeches that you'll give, and you'll open them up with that. I mean, I got goosebumps listening.
I love that, man.
And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, is that you are living proof that once you align with that voice, radical things happen in your life. So now let's fast forward. Right. So
yes.
How long ago was that?
Now that was 3 years ago.
3 years ago. So within 7 months, you said you packed everything up and you headed to Arizona?
Yeah, and it was the craziest thing. I just want to add a detail to that story. Once I made that decision, because what happens is we make decisions and we stack logically. We said earlier, it's called the law of diminishing intent. So the moment that I did that, I put my background phone as this Arizona sunset. I put stuff all over my environment to remind me. And dude, no joke. So I had the sunset. It was this purple sunset. I'm at McDowell Mountain. This is my first day in Arizona. First day. I'm doing a sunset hike. I literally just came from New York. And it's sunset. And I'm coming down the hill. And I'm breathing. I'm working out like crazy, right? And I take a moment and I look up. And I put my phone next to the horizon. The same exact sunset with the same cactus, the same purple hue.
Holy shit.
Dude, and I just lost it. Like, tears just started streaming down my eyes because it was that's why people will say things sound so hoax pocus.
Yeah.
Dude, that shifted my life forever at that moment. And
the funny thing is, it doesn't sound like hocus pocus to me. It sounds like exactly the universe's divine plan, you know?
Exactly.
And how things open up and conversations happen. And, you know, it's Steve Jobs actually gives this great speech. It was, I think it was at Stanford, and it was
my favorite, dude.
A commencement about connecting the dots.
Looking back
and how like just something just as simple as he took a calligraphy class in college, and how that became the foundation for fonts inside of typing. Like the things that you and I type with today were because of that, but he didn't know that. And but then once he was able to start connecting the dots, looking back, he was always able to trust the process moving forward, you know?
It's beautiful, man. It's yeah. Beautiful. We just never know. And when we look back at some of the greatest moments of our lives, that's where they come from. They come from the unknown. And the way that you tap into the unknown is only one way.
Yeah.
Being quadrant. That's it.
Exactly. So now you're like, it's crazy. You've got one of the top podcasts in iTunes, the Resist Average Academy. Or is it just called Resist Average?
No, Resist Average Academy. You got it.
So you got one of the top podcasts in iTunes, Resist Average Academy. You've got a freaking book that's out that's crushing it. You got multiple coaching clients. You're on your way to becoming a certified trainer inside Wake Up Warrior. You're speaking from stages. You have a relationship that's on fire. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, just in a short period of time, you know, and on top of that, like, how fulfilled are you now versus New Year's Day or New Year's Eve Day, whatever that was, a handful of years ago, 3 years ago?
It's so different that it's two different realities.
Yeah.
Meaning it seems like a different life.
Wow. That's,
you know, and so it's like, and I'm so honest about it. Like, I do wake up every day. And I'm deeply fulfilled. I'm super excited. And that's a feeling that's like, the reason I can own that is because that took a lot of work, Nick. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
Like that took the journey within that you and I have faced so many times. And obviously we face every single day, but it only happened because I had the courage to listen to the voice.
Yeah.
And we live in a life where we have so many distractions and we seek so much external validation, just like we said earlier, that if we can listen to that voice, not only will it give us the most fulfilling journey that we'll ever be on, which is what I call really the hero's journey, which is going from the unknown to the unknown. But we'll also stack on the most amazing results that come with that.
I know, it's
results that you create from taking the leaps of courage are exponential.
Right.
So you can stay incremental and you can listen to logic and you can listen to these small things and you can get incremental growth. That's not what we're about, man. Exponential growth happens when you have the courage to listen to the voice.
And you're exactly right, man. I was terrified to do this podcast forever. And, you know, now 40,000 downloads later, the universe is like giving me the affirmation that I need. But outside of that, like, I feel fulfillment at a deep level just doing this, just having this conversation, like right here, right now. I know that I was meant to be here having this conversation with you that thousands of people are going to listen to. And it may change 1 to 1,000 lives, but like it'll change whatever life it was meant to change. And it's just, it's crazy, man. So for people who are kind of starting out, they're novice, like I've introduced the core four already,
sure.
You know, talk about body, being, balance, and business. And so we talk about, you know, awakening like our body, fueling it, and then stepping into our purpose. What does your day look like as far as like when you go and you set your intention, you meditate and you journal? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, that being time to me is the most sacred time of all of them, as I've said. Like, that is the non-negotiable. And yeah, I've hit core four every single day for like 5 years. But if I was traveling and some chaos happens and I only had to do one, I only had the essence to do one, being all the way. That just fills me up in a way where I'm ready to give to everybody else. But those specific practices, they look like meditation, of course. And I've gone so deep into the world of meditation. But early on, if you're doing it, just keep it simple and allow the space to come in. Try stuff. Try a guided one. Try a silent one. Go back and forth. Meditation is one. I reaffirm my vision every single day.
And what do you mean when you reaffirm your vision every single day? I mean, I know what it means, but
sure. Yeah. So I look, I do a 1 year practice where I just look 1 year down the road and I actually pull up a chair. So first of all, I create the experience that I'm experiencing and the feelings and the people and all the places and stuff like that. And then to finish, to cap it off, I have a conversation with myself. I pull up a chair with the 1 year version of myself. And I just ask him a couple questions and I see how he speaks and I see how he sees the world. And that allows me to integrate my future self with the current self. Mm. And then I'll journal on that. And you've seen sometimes my journals are, you know, I'll write down an affirmation 500 times and fill a whole page. And sometimes they're just simple stuff, but those three core practices, sometimes with some breathing sprinkled in, they're enough to light your day on fire.
And so you take that year vision and then chunk it down into how many day increments do you get there, like at a time? I mean,
I think it's 90.
So yeah, you take them and you work in these 90 day quadrants, right? And then what happens when you set your intention, you're in alignment with the voice, you're practicing the core four and living 90 days at a time?
It's a different life, man. It's hard to describe to somebody who hasn't experienced it, but there's a certain depth and more importantly, there's an inner confidence, and it's the furthest thing from ego that says, dude, I'm living a life on my terms, and no matter what adversity or challenges are going to be thrown my way, because those will happen. Those are just tests designed to see how bad I want it and how much I'm willing to go and take this journey. And so it's the level of fulfillment that you create, and especially when you reaffirm your vision every day, what happens, like, man, dude, we get opportunities that were there all along, we just never saw it. I call it the test drive in the car, right? We go to the car, we go to the dealership, we drive, and then we see it everywhere. And with our vision, it's the same thing. The thing that happens, man, is that people reaffirm their vision once at a seminar or once at a mastermind or maybe once a quarter. You got to do this every single day, because the moment that you do, your awareness is shifted. So you will notice the people, the places, and the environments. And so I'll just give you a real world example. I had been in a string of bad relationships, got my heart crushed a couple times, I was just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to find someone who's going to like just light my world on fire. I just really started having those thoughts, but she was in my vision and I would vision her over and over and over again. And one day I'm here in Scottsdale Quarter and I never had gone to this one Starbucks. I needed Wi-Fi really bad. I forget some email somebody had sent me. It was like a chaos thing. And so I pulled over, dude, I'm crazy stressed, like definitely not relaxed. I'm also starving at the same time. And I start walking and I feel like I was being pulled towards someone. And next thing I know, I'm having conversation with someone.
Wow.
I was stressed as hell, man. But in that moment I got present and I connected and we spoke for 5 minutes and then that's Taylor. She's my soulmate, man.
And you guys are like, dude, you guys are like BFFs, bro. So it's like, I hesitate to say this as a grown man, but it's cute as hell, man. Like just to watch, like, you know, I'm a married man. I'm happily married. And like, you're like what I see from you guys is just like this unkindred love and connection, which is crazy. Right.
And the reason that happened, I appreciate that, man. The reason that happened was that day. And all the work that I had done before that had set my vision on what I was looking for. And even though I was stressed, even though I needed Wi-Fi, even though I was in a place of town that I'm never at, a place of town she's never at, actually. I mean, now we are because we live closer here. But at that moment, we weren't. I had the awareness to let my voice guide me and be pulled.
Wow. And had you not set the what?
The intention.
Right. You probably would have walked right back.
No, I would have missed her, man. I would have said, dude, I'm stressed. I don't have that.
Yeah.
Like I gotta go check an email. Logic would have taken over.
Right.
But
right.
I got pulled, man. And yeah, she could have told me to screw off.
Right.
But there was a connection there. It's a 5 minute connection that now is gonna create a lifetime of connection. That's and so you gotta have that trust because that was unexpected. I could have parked my ass in that same seat, that same intersection for a year and not created that connection.
Yeah. You could still be in New York right now, miserable as fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
Running 30 gyms that everybody else on the outside would think like, hey, Tommy's the man, Tommy's cool. But like when you look in the mirror, you'd be like, I'm missing out. And you wouldn't have met her. You wouldn't have had the experiences that you've had. You wouldn't have like had all this awakening. Maybe you would have had more money, but who gives a fuck? You know, like, I mean, it's like that's just a vehicle to get us to ultimately what we want, you know? But I promise you that the path you're on is going to catapult past how many ever franchises you could have ever built.
100%. And that's where, you know, I always tell people it's the net, your best case scenario, given your current vantage point and your evolution pales into comparison to what could actually happen.
Yeah.
When you go back down to logic and you get stuck in this place, the biggest tragedy is I would have never known, Nick. Yeah. I would have known I would have lived with some regret because I had a window, and in life we have windows.
Right.
But dude, I would have had no idea. I couldn't have scripted this.
That's so crazy.
And then we take that to today and it's like, I still am guided by this intuition every single day. Right. And it's the beauty of being an entrepreneur, but I will, you know, my intuition was like, get on this podcast. Dude, I don't really do unscheduled podcasts. This was a last second thing. I know.
I've been harassing you, and I know you're like a regimented guy. And I'm like, come on,
we'll regimented as hell, dude. And so, but it worked out because I had a client that was supposed to be here, and they bailed out at the last second, created the space. My audio engineer just got here at the same time. Wow. So it's like I believe all of this stuff
is connected.
Is absolutely connected. Even the micro inconsequential or seemingly inconsequential stuff, because we have this conversation, we can have it five times, go five different places.
Exactly.
Today, there's one person that listens and creates the shift and they take a leap of courage.
There might be somebody listening right now that's in a spot that they know they need to move. They know they need to get out of. It might be a marriage. It might be a business relationship. It might be an addiction. It might be something in this podcast that they set their intention and they set their vision and they start practicing it every single day can make a formative change. And that's a great segue, my friend, to your book, The 1% Rule. Like we've got about 5-6 minutes left. So I want to definitely talk about that because this book like is blowing up. So tell me about the book and tell me about the premise of the book and then tell the audience where they can get the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And really the book again came from an insight that I had.
Yeah.
I remember when I got the insight because I had the concept's been in my head for a while, but the 1% actually came up and I had the insight and I said, yeah, that would be just a great book title. And I got the insight And dude, I had a coaching session for 2 hours that day. I'm telling you, man, I've never wanted a coaching session to end so fast. Not because I didn't want to be there, but I didn't want to lose that insight.
Right, you wanted it right.
Yeah, so this is like a takeaway for the audience, like what we said earlier. Get the insight. Document it with everything you had. I will literally drive in Arizona. I will pull over the side of the road, turn the car off because my Bluetooth is all messed up. I would leave myself a voice note anytime I get an insight because we lose the essence. We start to stack all of this other stuff. So that first day, I wrote my first 500 words as fast as I could. It was total crap what I wrote, but it set me up to write the rest of the book. And really, the reason I wrote the book is simple, man. People place so much pressure on themselves. People think they're going to hit a grand slam on the first try of anything they do. And we place our self-esteem around the result. And if we don't get the result, then we start to judge ourselves. And then it ends up this horrible emotional state where we never actually move forward and create the results that we want. So the 1% rule is, and it's in the self-esteem category for a reason. It's not in the entrepreneurship category. It's not in the inspiration category. It's in the self-esteem. Because I wanted to give people a tool to get their power back and place their self-esteem around the process. And specifically, the 1% that they can do today. Mm. The 1% that they can do tomorrow. Because at the very least, with incremental growth, it's 3.65x over a year.
Right.
But on the incremental growth curve, man, it looks flat. You don't know when that thing's going to skyrocket. Right. And there's a bunch of variables and a bunch of conditions that have to come together. But the moment it does, it's a beautiful game. And if you do hit the exponential growth curve, that's 3,700x better in a year.
Exactly. And that's what people don't understand. And I talked about, like last week, I talked about the philosophy of Moneyball and how they got these players that had this on-base percentage, not guys that were slugging for the fences, just guys that could hit singles, guys that got walked a lot, and they got on base. And so that's what it is. 1% every day gets you on first. The next day gets you on second. And eventually you're just scoring a run and those runs stack up. And guess what ultimately happens? You love your fucking self. You know, and then, I mean, that's what, and then once you have that power and that certainty, it can't be taken from you. So this book is radically changing lives. I see the posts all the time. So where can somebody find the book?
Yeah, best place. It's in all different types of retailers, but best place to get it is Amazon. That will just help the rankings. And it's been fun to see what people are doing with it, man. Because just like you and I said, the only thing that we can do with a podcast or a book is to give people the spark that leads them to take the journey back within.
And so gotta, if we do that, we win. Action. Yeah, and then they got to take action after that.
Exactly. But you can do 1% in being is so powerful. You know, a lot of people are like, man, like this meditation thing. And then the next thing you know, they want to do like a 10-day retreat. Like, dude, start simple. And
then 5-10 minutes a day. Download the Headspace app and just try that for 7 days. It's a free trial.
If your intention is in the right place and you're fully, fully present, right?
Yeah.
5-10 minutes is much better than 30 minutes being all scattered and just checking off the list. Yeah. And you start to add this and you start to access the voice and the voice comes up in the meditation. Then you're in the middle of a sales conversation or date night and the voice hits you again. And then you act on that. What do you build? It's called self-trust.
Right.
Emerson wrote Self-Reliance, which to me is one of the most beautiful texts of all time. And that's what he's talking about. Acting on the inner genius, acting on the inner intuition is what gives us this knowing of self-trust that is so separate from ego. It's full of self-love and appreciation and humility. That's the name of the game.
That's so rad, dude. Like it's awesome. And like, that's what I love. And so how can people follow you? Cause they got to follow you. Cause they got to just see like your pictures of your journal and like the stuff that you're doing. So is there a website or your Instagram? Like where can people learn more about Tommy Baker?
Yeah, we got Resist Average Academy podcast. If you're into podcasts, that's a great place.
Well, obviously they're into podcasts because they're listening to this shit.
We go deep, just like we do here. No cookie cutter interviews, or just real conversations. And then honestly, if you want to just get a daily dose, if you follow me on facebook.com/baker72, that's actually my personal. You can follow me on there. I post so much that people probably get annoyed at it, but you'll be, you know, that's where I just give away as much as I can to create a shift and have people get a spark.
So is that probably the best place for people to get to know you is Facebook.com/Baker72. So that's Facebook.com /Baker, B-A-K-E-R, 72. Yeah. You can find Tommy there. Go to Amazon, get his book today. It's the 1% rule. Don't be a cheap motherfucker. Spend like if you're like, oh, I don't want to pay. How much is the book on Amazon? How much is it?
Paperback's 14, Kindle 7.
Seven fucking dollars. If you're sitting here going, I don't want to pay $7. What does that say about you and the belief in yourself? Like, you have to invest. This man is a reading machine, dude. Like, he reads books like it's going out of style. And I look up to that, dude. I aspire to be where you're at it from a being perspective, because you're just such a whole person. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see.
Can I tell a quick story before we wrap?
Please, please.
The reason why I got so into being, we all have these moments in life. And I remember once, obviously, like, we all have these questions, and the deep questions of life are, who am I and why am I here? And I had these questions come up, and again, we all have them. It's just a matter, do we actually have the courage to answer the questions, or do we distract and sedate? And I remember being 21, and I was at a Buddhist meditation retreat on the East Coast. I'd never done anything like this. And they're introducing each person. And dude, I was in a room with 50, the lowest was 55, 60, and 70-year-olds, and et cetera, et cetera. And dude, I remember we're going around the room and everyone's saying, you know, why are you here? What are you trying to get out of this experience? And I just shared whatever I said. Some guy in front of me turns around, holds space, looks at me in the eye, and he says, man, the things that I would do, the things that I would give away to be in this room at your age. And dude, I saw such a sense of regret within the words that I was like, that message from this man, 70-year-old man, was a massive catalyst to say, take the journey within.
Yes.
Because he was giving me some real-time feedback, and I can look into his eyes, still remember that moment, it's amazing, in this meditation room. And that led me on the journey inside. And so for anybody listening, you're getting these sparks. If you made it through the time on this podcast, it's for a reason. Otherwise, you would have shut this crap off. You would have been like, those guys are just saying, like, being whatever. If you made it this far, commit to something. Commit to something. Tag Nick and I and commit to something. Send us a message. Send us an email. Send us a Instagram. And commit to something in your being and do it for the next 90 days. Watch what happens.
Bro, fucking mic drop. Welcome to Tommy Baker's podcast. I'm his co-host, Nick, and this is the Next 90 with Nick. Dude, that was epic, bro. So people, Resist Average Academy is the podcast. Go over there, give it a listen. You'll love it. Facebook.com/Baker72 is where you can see Tommy's beautiful face, his beautiful girlfriend. And then also 1% rule on Amazon is for sale. Go buy that. Don't be a cheap ass. Get it today. Tommy, dude, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your Oracle organized brain coming into my world of podcasting and being present here with me, man. I truly honor, love, and appreciate you, brother.
Dude, and right back to you, you acknowledged me several times, and I want to make sure I hold the space and acknowledge what you're doing, man. It takes a lot of courage to launch something like this, and you did it, and you went all in, and you're creating something really, really special, but it's only a representation of the value that you're creating for yourself and the people in your life. So I acknowledge you as well, my man.
I appreciate it, brother. And head over to ownthenext90.com. That's ownthenext90.com. Download the gap map. Get clear on where you're at across all four areas of the core four, the body, the being, the balance, the business, especially the being. Listen to that voice. Understand that the gap is there. And guess who the gap is? It's you. So go inside, find the answers, and go bring it outside to the world. So Tommy, I love you, dude. I appreciate
you. Love you, brother.
And I'll see you at the next summit, right?
Done, my man.
All right, bro. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
All right. Until next time, y'all. Own the next 90. We out.